Let's dive deeper into that education story we touched on. Because the implications of the Grossmont Union High School District mental health controversy extend beyond just policy disagreements. Marcus, when a county grand jury uses language like falsehoods and misrepresentations, that's significant.
Absolutely, Sarah. Grand juries don't use that kind of language lightly. The specific finding was that the governing board's 2023 decision to change mental health providers was based on inaccurate information about care provided to LGBTQ students. This left 4725 graduating students and thousands of other district students without access to 6 mental health clinicians and a suicide prevention program for 4 months.
The timing is particularly concerning because this happened during a period when youth mental health services were already strained across the region. San Diego Youth Services had been providing these services, and the board voted 3-1 to deny contract renewal. The grand jury's 10 recommendations now provide a roadmap for correcting course.
The fact that San Diego Youth Services can continue providing services to 3 high schools through its East County Behavioral Health Clinic until June 2027 gives the district time to implement proper oversight and evidence-based decision-making processes. But the damage to trust and continuity of care has already occurred.
This connects to broader questions about how school boards make decisions that affect student welfare. Are these decisions based on educational best practices and student needs, or are they influenced by political considerations? The grand jury findings suggest the latter occurred here.
Now shifting to some positive education news, that career technical education program launching in Santee School District represents exactly the kind of forward-thinking approach that prepares students for economic opportunities. The $2,150,000 state grant funding a digital media elective for 7th and 8th graders.
What's smart about this program is the collaboration with GUHSD teachers, creating continuity between middle school exposure and high school specialization. Students who discover an interest in digital media in 7th grade can pursue more advanced coursework when they reach high school.
The planned expansion into health science, sports medicine, and information and communication technologies for 2027 to 28 reflects labor market realities. These are growth sectors in San Diego County's economy, and giving students early exposure could influence their educational and career pathways.
Let's turn to sports. Because Padres fans had quite the night last night. Fernando Tatis Jr. hit his second home run of the season with 2 outs in the 9th inning to give the Padres a 5-4 walk-off win over the Cincinnati Reds. The attendance was 37,793, a packed house at Petco Park.
That walk-off puts the Padres at 35-32 overall and 19-19 at home, sitting second in the NL West. But Sarah, this was the culmination of a really entertaining series against Cincinnati. The Padres won the series with some dramatic baseball.
The series started June 8th with a 6-2 Padres win, where the Reds botched 3 straight bunts in the 7th inning. That's the kind of fundamental breakdown that costs games. June 9th saw the Reds win 5-3 in 11 innings when rookie Sal Stewart hit a walk-off 2-run homer.
So we had dueling walk-offs, Stewart for the Reds on June 9th, then Tatis for the Padres on June 10th. Tonight is the series finale with Michael King taking the mound for San Diego. King is 4-5 with a 3.4 ERA, facing Brady Singer for Cincinnati, who's 2-6 with a 5.89 ERA.
The analytics models favor the Padres at approximately 59% probability for tonight's game. Following this series, the Padres head to Baltimore on June 12th, so they'll be looking to carry this momentum on the road.
The Tatis walk-off is particularly significant because it's only his second home run of the season. We've been watching his recovery and return to form, and clutch moments like this suggest he's finding his timing and confidence at the plate.
The 37,393 attendance figure also tells a story about fan engagement. That's a strong weeknight crowd for a series against Cincinnati, suggesting that Padres fans are staying connected with the team, even when they're not playing marquee opponents.
Now let me address something we've been discussing throughout this episode. What if we're wrong about the most confident assumption we're making? We've talked extensively about Santee's $7.2 million FEMA fire safety investment and the River Corridor surveillance cameras as proactive, well-timed measures.
That's a good challenge, Marcus. Our assumption is that this technology-heavy approach to fire prevention, surveillance cameras, monitoring systems, data collection will actually reduce fire risk and improve emergency response times in the San Diego River Corridor.
But what if the primary fire risks in that corridor aren't the kind that cameras and surveillance systems can effectively address? What if the real drivers are drought conditions, vegetation management, or human behavior patterns that don't respond to monitoring?
Right. And there's also the question of whether $7.2 million in technological infrastructure provides better fire safety outcomes than the same investment in vegetation management, fuel reduction, or firefighting personnel and equipment. We're assuming that surveillance and monitoring translate to prevention.
The strongest counterargument might be that fires spread faster than human response systems can react, regardless of how sophisticated the monitoring technology. By the time cameras detect smoke or heat signatures, conditions might already be beyond the point where early intervention is effective.
And there's the maintenance and operational question. Surveillance systems require ongoing monitoring, data analysis, and response protocols. If those human systems aren't properly resourced and maintained, the technology becomes expensive equipment that doesn't improve outcomes.
So if we're wrong, what should listeners watch for? I'd say look at fire response times in the River Corridor after the system is installed. Are fires being detected and contained faster, or are we seeing similar burn patterns despite the technological investment?
Also, watch the maintenance and operational aspects. Are these cameras functioning consistently? Are response protocols actually being followed when alerts are triggered? The technology is only as effective as the human systems supporting it.
This connects to broader questions about how communities invest in resilience. Sometimes the most effective approaches are the least technologically sophisticated: strategic vegetation management, community education, evacuation route planning.